We'll focus on the November 1st, 2013 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rain Report. I'm Gary, N9VU. Last time we heard about the evolution of Ham Radio Now, an audio-video podcast being produced by Ham Radio Video Archivist Gary Pierce, KN4AQ. Back around 2004, Gary shared his concerns with Amateur Radio Newsline co-founder Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, and ARRL PR guy Alan Pitts, K1AGP, about the lack of video documentation of hams in action during man-made and natural emergencies. For example, hams helping to interconnect agencies in rural Texas, tracking debris resulting from the disintegration of the Space Shuttle Columbia high above eastern Texas, hams providing critical communication in rural Louisiana and Mississippi in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, documenting the forums at the Tapper digital communication conferences, etc. Gary began archiving ham radio events, eventually establishing his Ham Radio Now podcast that he produces today. Traveling to the scene of the action with the necessary AV equipment can be a costly proposition, so Gary adopted a successful fundraising strategy in the summer of 2013 to cover such production costs.
But I did something different this year when I did the Tapper conference. It was being held out in Seattle, Washington, and I'm in North Carolina, so it is about as far on the other side of the country as you can get and still be within the continental U.S. So I couldn't afford to haul all the equipment out there and spend the time to do it. I launched a Kickstarter sometime middle of August last summer and set a goal of $10,000 and said, if I make the goal, I will go. And if I don't make the goal, I won't. And Kickstarter is an all or nothing deal. If you set a goal and you don't make it, if you could get to within a dollar of it, and if you don't make it, you get nothing. I gave the odds a little bit less than 50%. If I was really being honest about it, it would have been well under 50% of being successful in the Kickstarter. The Kickstarter was very successful. I reached $6,000 fairly quickly. There was not quite 4 weeks available for it because I had to know early enough to be able to plan to go and to tell all my freelance clients I was going to be gone for a while and make all the plans and reservations. So I set it from about August 8th or 9th, I think, is as soon as I could launch it, to Labor Day this year. That was the day the Kickstarter was going to close. About halfway through, it was $4,000 or $5,000. It was getting close. I had approached some companies about a corporate level of funding for the Tapper Conference. Nobody was able to come up with a whole $10,000 all at once. But once I had the Kickstarter going and showed that it was successful, and I met with the representatives at the Huntsville Ham Fest, which was in the middle of August after things were moving along fairly well on the Kickstarter, and showed them how it was going, we came up with the idea that we could all split the cost. And I set up a $2,000 corporate level in the Kickstarter. And Tapper was the first one to join in. They really wanted the video done. They pledged $2,000. Two of the other companies that have probably the closest connection to the kinds of digital things that Tapper is involved in also joined in. And they are Flex Radio Systems, which has their Sirius SDR system, software-defined radio, and Elecraft, and several of Elecraft's radios are SDR. So with those three, $2,000 each, and being at about $6,000 in individual contributions, well, suddenly I was at $12,000, about $2,000 over the goal. So it was successful. I packed everything up and headed out. And now I've got everything sitting here on hard drives, and we'll start editing them and getting them online over the next few weeks. That is, in a really large nutshell, what Ham Radio Now has been all about.
What is your long-term goal for Ham Radio Now?
I would like to make it a program that hams turn to learn about things that they will not have the opportunity to experience directly, for the most part, because it's either happening in some other part of the country, or I'm talking to someone who has done something fairly unique, and not everybody's going to get to talk to that person. So kind of like any television talk show or documentary. And by the way, the program has an identity crisis. Sometimes it's a talk show with talking heads. I do a lot of that on Skype or at Hamfests. Sometimes it's a documentary unit, and I go out in the field and shoot stuff. And sometimes it's these conferences like Tapper. So those three things are all involved. It's all ham radio, but three different ways of looking at things. And with all of that, what I want to do is just get to things that are going on in ham radio or people who are doing things in ham radio and present them to the ham community in ways that, haven't been done before. You've read about things like that in magazines, but magazines are not intimate. What you do in audio and what I do as audio and video bring people to the ham community in a pretty intimate fashion. And well, actually, audio and radio have always been my first love. Television takes you a step beyond what you can do in radio in terms of showing you things or even just looking at the people who are talking and seeing their facial expressions and maybe something they're going to hold up in a show. So obviously, once television was created, radio took something of a backseat in a worldwide media. It surprisingly, for a lot of people, never went away because it can be in some ways more intimate than television is. And sometimes I wonder why I'm going through all the effort, all the cameras and stuff, because it's a lot more work. It makes things a lot more difficult. And what I'm told from the TWIT folks, although they have become a television network and they started as an audio podcast, they get still more people getting their content as audio than as video. I put my audio up available as a download. I think still more people are looking at my stuff as video because it's easier to get YouTube or on my website. But audio is still important.
Audio is important, but it is a visual world. Because of the fact that it is a visual world, people listen to audio in their cars or on their radio, on a ham radio net during the week. On the other hand, you get such a larger dimension, assuming you're sighted, albeit it requires more bandwidth, it does require a certain size screen. Do you have any idea what kind of viewership you get on iPhones?
I can't tell. Those things aren't broken out with any of the statistics I can look at. I can see total number of views, and most of my programs run between 1,000 and 3,000 or 4,000. So it's not the most popular program out there. Some of the others like Ham Nation and AmateurLogic.tv are tens of times more in terms of viewers than I've got at this point. I see some demographic stuff. It's mostly men, 95% or more men, most of them over 40, a big bubble in the 45 to 55 range, not very many over 65 and not very many under 45. But none of that shows me what people are looking at. One thing that is interesting about that, though, because I've spent my career in television trying in the NTSC, the American Standard Definition Television System, to make the best looking pictures we possibly could out of a very low resolution, flawed television system that maintained compatibility back to its roots sometime in the late 1930s and early 1940s, on increasingly bigger screens and more sophisticated equipment, but all still maintaining that old compatibility all the way back to black and white.
You're listening to our second excerpt from a conversation between Ham Radio Now podcast producer Gary Pierce, KN4AQ, and Rain Report producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, delving into some of the issues both share in their podcasting. We'll continue their conversation in a moment. This is the Rain Report, available 24/7 on iTunes and Twitter.
You're listening to the Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
I work so hard to make ordinary television look good in the commercials and the programs I was working on, that when the internet came along and the early attempts at putting some video on the internet, which were really terrible, postage stamp sized pictures on your screen at 5 frames per second, very jerky, and even at that size looking low resolution, I was appalled. I was horrified. I can't tell you how unhappy I was that television was going in that direction. It was terrible. And I didn't think it was going to go anywhere. Well, of course, now the internet can supply high definition television better than broadcast and cable is going to be able to do. As 4K television starts to come around, the broadcast system's locked in at high def at 1080p at best. cable won't be able to do much better for a while, but the stuff you'll be able to get over the internet will be 4K and better sooner. That was a revelation and a surprise, and I kind of watched it slowly evolve. And then once it got pretty darn good and I could afford to get in, that's where I went. But I don't know how many people watch on small screens. I tend to watch a lot on small screens, although I've got the biggest small screens I can get. My phone is the Samsung Galaxy Note 2, which was the largest phone until just this year. Now there's a couple of bigger ones. My tablet is a Nexus 7, which is not one of the biggest. My wife's got a full-sized iPad. It's bigger, although it's not sharper. I watch an awful lot of stuff on those, even on that little phone. So I guess I've finally come around to accepting whatever size is available.
I'm speaking today with Gary Pierce, KN4AQ, the man behind Ham Radio Now. We'll be right back. This is the Rain Report. You say your numbers are minuscule, relatively speaking, to those of Ham Radio Nation. My numbers are minuscule compared to those of the Amateur Radio Newsline. One of my mentors, Bill Pasternak, of course, producer of Newsline. And that brings up an issue, how long can I make a Rain Report? And I get very little feedback. I hope you get more about your stuff than I get about mine. 99.9% is good, but it's very little of it. But where I was going with this is that it seems that anything over 17 or 18 minutes, especially anything over 20, is just a tune-out for people. 11, 12, 13 seems to be optimum. That's a real problem in a windbag. I mean, a talker like you, you know, I just wind you up and let you go.
I'll take the windbag part as a compliment.
I will periodically have a two-part feature, so that gives me like 15, 17 minutes each week for 2 weeks. But this is why I'm concerned when Newsline, and God bless Bill Pasternak for the heroic effort he puts in every week. Week after week with news that a month from now is going to be stale and nobody is going to want to listen to it again. Sometimes his programs, as you know, go 30 minutes. It's interesting when you're talking to repeaters who are not carrying the Rain Report or Newsline, and they're saying, we can't keep the repeater up for more than about 20, 25 minutes. I mean, what if there's an emergency? And, well, you know, just la-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da. So that's what I'm contending with. But there's nothing that says I can't run a Rain Extra from time to time that is not formatted for amateur radio, an ID every 10 minutes or less, and that can just be a half hour or however long, because I make the Rain Report available both on therainreport.com and Twitter. I have no idea how many people go to therainreport.com anymore as opposed to just clicking on Twitter and listening to it there. Who am I programming to? Who am I trying to inform? Is it the blind ham community? Is it the sight and ham community? It's to whomever will listen, but I have to be careful that it's going to not be over the heads of too many people. And so I get comments once in a while, gee, I wish you'd have more technical programs.
I hear that all the time.
Statistically, what is it that, like, within 24 hours, you only retain maybe 20% of what you heard of a presentation? And of course, 48 hours, 72 hours, you retain even less. So to do anything very technical, especially just audio, especially knowing that some people are going to be listening while they're driving down Eisenhower Expressway, dodging traffic, they don't have that luxury of concentrating 100% on what I or my interviewee or the Dayton Forum presenter has to say. And therefore, it's always a challenge to think, okay, well, now there's a technical subject. How can I break this down? And what part can I present that's not going to be over the heads of too many people?
Well, fortunately for the audience, there's no quiz. Yeah, I think about the same things. What level am I going to go for? That's not always top of mind. If I'm thinking about it in an interview and somebody tosses off a phrase, even just a word or a concept that I don't think very many people in the audience are going to be familiar with, I will try to get them to back up and explain a little bit more about that. I'm not very good at getting that done all the time. And hams in general, and even us hams who are very media savvy, are generally pretty terrible at that. But I try to keep that in mind. In terms of what audience I'm aiming for, well, I'm certainly not aiming for the top guys. If they enjoy my personality and the programs that I put out, and I've got some very educated hams among the audience who are the leading edge of the fans, who give me a lot of feedback and encouragement about the programs, and they never say, do something at my level. They're happy to hear something at a level where they think that something's being communicated to more people. Not aiming for the bottom either. My philosophy on that is that nobody aimed at my level as I was getting into ham radio. And there was a lot of things I didn't understand. So I just took my time and looked for repetition and looked for the same articles or another article explaining something or another person who could explain it to me, and slowly got it as far as I got. I'm no engineer. There's a lot of things I still don't get. And actually, my best understanding of a lot of things in ham radio came when I was preparing to teach classes. Nothing concentrates your mind and makes you understand a subject like trying to teach it to somebody else. So those are some of the best ways I learned something. What I'm saying is come along for the ride. You will get something out of it. And the tapper stuff that I shoot, most of that stuff is over my head. But having the opportunity in recording it the first time, playing it back, editing, adding titles and a few graphics here and there, I tend to absorb more and more. And time is an issue. You know, how much time do you have to play something over and over again? In this case, it's sort of my job, so I'm going to be doing it. And the average person watching, they probably get one pass on it before they got a chance. They need to go on to do something else, which is why they'll get the concept in my show. And then maybe they'll get the same concept in your show and in another show and in an article that they read. And after they've seen it that many times, it'll start to sink in. Now, they're not going to get it and retain it forever from one unless they are definitely in study mode, and most of us are not in that very often.
And that concludes our excerpts from a conversation between podcasters Gary Pierce, KN4AQ, and Rain Report producer Hap Holly, KC9RP. Look for a Rain Extra with more of Hap and Gary's conversation on therainreport.com coming soon. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2013 Rain, all rights reserved. And now for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Gary, N9VU, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at The Rain Report, www.therainreport.com.